We have come out into the garden again. In fact, this is our favourite location because it's a little bit secluded here. I mean, we're right in the middle of the offices, but it's only ever us who are out here, which is bizarre because it's so sunny.
It's lovely. Yeah, 'cause our office, for those who don't know and have never had the joys of coming to the BEF office, it's built like a donut with a big grass circle and a giant tree in the middle, and that's where we turn into our little studio.
We do, and it's like when you first come to the offices here, it's the first thing you notice is that you've got a tree growing out in the middle of the offices, and it's bizarre to me. There's never anyone else here but us. Anyway, let's talk about what's been happening in the last week or so, and our biggest thing has been those team announcements. Now, we were deep in them the last time we recorded one of these, weren't we?
Yes, the last time we recorded this. Well, the last time we recorded this, we'd just done the para dressage one. So since then, we've had the show jumping, the dressage, and the eventing. So all four disciplines are now live. If you have been living under a rock and haven't seen those, please head to our website or social media, where you will find the lucky names of the people going to Rotterdam and Le Moulin.
I mean, I know I'd say this anyway, but those are four very strong teams. The para team is really interesting because obviously you've got three new names there. Three, and possibly there's going to be two or three of those that people don't know. I mean, Sophie obviously is a big name, but the other three, you might not know those riders, so that's really interesting. But as far as the other three disciplines are concerned, those are big, strong teams, aren't they?
They are very, very strong, and, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, and I'm firmly touching the wooden bench that we're sat on right now, but I'd like to think we're in with a good shout of a medal in at least one of those disciplines.
You'd hope so as well. I tell you what went down, and this is us very much blowing our own trumpet here, but what went down very well was the inclusion of the grooms within those announcements. Now, I don't know whether other teams have done that in the past, but for both of us, it's really important that we included those grooms because they're such a vital member of the team, aren't they?
They really are. So we made a real effort with this that we wanted to have the grooms' names in there, so we worked with Liz Daniels from the British Grooms Association to make sure that we got firstly the names of those grooms in there, and also that they had the opportunity to give us a quote for the press release as well.
Yeah, some of those quotes were the best quotes. There was one that was wow, wasn't it? It was great. No, I loved all of that. So, and it looks like it went down pretty well with you fans as well. That loads of people on social media said they love the fact that the grooms were included.
There was definitely no gloom.
Gloom at all. So the Europeans, where are we now? So when this goes out, it will be about 10 days until the Europeans. Now, you're going out first, and then I join you probably two or three days later. Are you on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, Rachel, how excited are you about the Europeans?
15.
You're 15 out of 10.
I'm 15 out of 10.
I am pretty excited as well. But what we are going to concentrate on this episode of the podcast is the Tokyo Test Event.
Yes, the Ready Steady Tokyo Test Event, which is happening next week. And basically, these test events, they run them before the Olympics, just to kind of test out the facilities and make sure that everything's running smoothly.
Yeah, because you've got to do this for major games. And I think some of the sports have already had their test event. We're going to, as we said, we're going to have ours Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And we've got two riders going out.
We have. We're sending Georgie Spence with Halltown Harley and William Fox Pitt with Summer at Fernhill.
So it's really important that you have these major championships so that everyone knows what they're doing as far as the Olympics and obviously the Paralympics next summer are concerned. And somebody who has been giving this a lot of thought over the last few months is Vicky Underwood, who's our performance director.
She is, yes, because that's the thing with these events. It's you know, partly there so that the organisers know how everything's going to run, but it's also a very important fact-finding mission for the national governing bodies that are sending athletes to these events and who will be sending them to Tokyo. So I caught up with Vicky to find out exactly what they're hoping to gain from this and a little bit more about what will be happening there. So Vicky, tell me, what does a performance director do?
So I oversee the four disciplines. So three Olympic, show jumping, dressage and eventing, and Paralympic dressage. So essentially I have expert teams in all four of those. My job is really to sort of pull all the information together and make sure that our sort of strategic direction is set for the next four-year cycle, so through now to obviously Tokyo and then on to Paris and also then on to LA, so the next games, making sure we've considered everything we need to consider so that we can be winning gold medals across all four of those in all the future games to come.
And obviously a big part of that is the Tokyo Olympics, which are coming up next year. And they are running a test event, aren't they, out in Tokyo?
Yeah, so a test event is essentially for the organising committee to test the venues that they've built, get the right staffing in place, the security, the operations, etc. But it also gives nations an opportunity to join in a competition, which is essentially a three-star eventing competition. So that tests a little bit about the dressage facilities, the show jumping facilities, and also obviously the cross-country course. So we're using it as an opportunity to send a couple of riders and horses that we know very well, and a number of staff, human sports science staff, equine sports science staff, coaches, etc., just to really get an understanding of the sort of challenges and opportunities that Tokyo will present to us, ideally, again, so that we can get a competitive advantage and come away with as many medals as possible.
And what are some of the challenges you're kind of expecting to face out there?
So one of the biggest challenges is going to be the potential for heat and humidity, quite extreme heat and humidity. So what we'll be wanting to do is just have a look at how that impacts on the horse. We've done some research already in terms of rider clothing, horse clothing, to get the riders that are out there to try different things to see which feel best and which they feel keep them coolest. But it also gives us a really good opportunity to look at the welfare and well-being side of things, just to make sure that we know our horses and our riders are competing in conditions that might be extreme, but they'll never be overly extreme. We would never ever want to put horses or riders in any sort of danger at all. So it gives us an opportunity to test all these things and make sure we're confident in what we're preparing for next year.
And the riders that we're sending, obviously we've got William Fox Pitt with Summer at Fernhill and Georgie Spence with Halltown Harley. What do you think they'll be able to kind of offer by competing in Tokyo?
Yeah, so both really experienced riders. We've got William, who has been to a number of games and a number of world championships, so he knows probably more than any other rider we've got in the system exactly how the event and the conditions might feel different. We might need to prepare horses differently, warm up differently, you know, the terrain, the environment, you know, he'll have a really good sense of how to feed back to the rest of Team GBR about how we need to prepare. And Georgie and her owners are so enthusiastic. They have a five-star horse here, horse that's been around badminton a few times, very, very experienced horse. And Georgie is really enjoying working with us on the clothing side of things, the horse clothing, but also the human clothing, and how do we design various different items to be able to allow the riders to feel cool and to be able to really focus on what it is they need to do without feeling hot and sweaty all the time. So she's been really, really critical to us for looking at that side of things.
We'd like to go out there and we'd like to do well, but I suppose it's more of a fact-finding mission than anything else. And so sort of in terms of the rest of the team going out there, what are you kind of hoping to look at aside from the heat?
So the games is a unique experience. And it's a whole cultural experience. So for us, Japan isn't a normal holiday destination for us. It's not a normal competitive destination for us. And it is culturally quite a long way away from what we're used to. So everything, just in terms of how you meet and greet Japanese people, how you interact, how you travel, how you use their sort of public transport system, all sorts of things that will just help us to be able to make the most out of being in this really unique environment. So we've got at the test event, we've got some owners going out so they can really look at how does the hotel work, how does transport to the venue work, how does public transport work, what other sorts of activities are they going to want to do while they're out there to make the most of the country. We've got riders out there who will obviously be thinking about it from moving from the team hotel when they arrive into the Olympic Village, and then the distance from the Olympic Village to the venue, and different times of day of training and competing so that we can make sure we miss the heat of the day. So a lot of those logistical challenges as well. And then also with our support staff there, our support staff could well be on the ground from 5 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock the next morning, certainly on certain competition days. So looking at how we manage that and how we make sure they can rest and recover and eat well and all those sorts of things. So it will be a huge fact-finding mission for us, which will be really great for preparing us for next year.
Brilliant. Well, I know you're going to be sending us lots of photos and things, and some of the other team out there will be as well, which we'll be sharing on our social media. So good luck with it, Vicky, and enjoy Tokyo.
Thank you very much.
And to the here's the thing that we always get asked in the build-up to championships, particularly when they're far away, that on Europe, is how on earth do you get your horses to these events? So you have been talking to...
to Alex Van Tool, who is, amongst other things, she's a very, very busy lady, but she does a lot with us over here at Team GBR in terms of travelling horses to far-flung destinations. So she is travelling with the horses going out to Tokyo for the test event. They leave, we're recording this on the Monday, and they are en route as we speak. I caught up with her at Barbary Horse Trials to find out a little bit about what happens in getting a horse on a plane to somewhere like Tokyo. But we did also talk about travelling them long distances across Europe, because obviously we have got the Europeans, and that's near enough that you can put the horses in a lorry, but it's still quite a trek. So, Alex, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I am a professional three-day event groom, but I also am a membership secretary of the Event Horse Owners Association, PA to a few event riders, and I do the odd day here and there for the BEF.
So it sounds like you're kept quite busy with all of that.
I don't have that much free time on my hands, I have to say.
That doesn't surprise me, sounding like that. So one of the things that I know you do quite a lot of is travelling horses. And obviously some of that is just around the UK, but it does go a little bit further afield than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I do a lot of travelling, predominantly in Europe and America. For the last 3 years, I've been to Great Meadows in America for the Nations Cup event horses. I've been to Rolex too many times to remember, and I'm actually heading to the Tokyo test event in a couple of weeks.
So tell me a little bit about what actually goes into getting a horse on a plane.
A lot goes on to getting a horse on a plane. You have to get their kit packed in a trunk, has to go into x-ray machines. You have to think about their feed, because obviously abroad in Europe it's okay, but going to America and particularly Japan, you can't necessarily import every feed. So you have to see what they have. Potentially you might have to change their feed in advance of their trip. You also have to think about their journey, what rugs they're going to wear, their dehydration, their stress levels, their forage. Also customs, documentation. It's not just get your pony, load it on and off you go. Definitely not like that.
So how far in advance do you have to start thinking about all those things?
Oh, definitely with 6 months, for vaccinations. Like the horses for Tokyo this winter, we will vaccinate horses for next year in advance so that they have the correct inoculations in the lead up to the Olympics.
And while you're on the plane, are you having to keep checking on the horses?
Oh yeah, flying is very much dependent on the pilot on the plane. Some pilots allow us to sit with horses during takeoff and landing, which is actually the most times slightly scared. Otherwise, I get up and check them just after we've taken off, make sure they're comfortable, they're not too hot or cold, make sure they drink. I have a little hanging manger with a couple of inches in it, and if they don't drink, I float a few apples or a bit of carrot in it. I take some apple juice because some horses will like to drink that. Make sure they've got a hay net, and if they have haylage, I do dampen that slightly just to make sure they don't get too hydrated, just checking that they're comfortable. And you find that most competition horses actually settle very well because they're used to being handled, they're used to doing the travelling. It's the yearlings and the youngsters that haven't done so much travelling on lorries and trailers that they're the ones that are more apprehensive. It is quite noisy in the plane.
And obviously if you're going to Europe and things, you're sticking them on a lorry as opposed to going on a plane. Does that differ in any way?
Yeah, you have to pre-book presumably the train or a ferry. I tend to travel at night because it's cooler, there's less traffic on the roads. You have to take in account of major cities that they're going to have rush hour. You've got to find suitable places to stop, to get the horses off, to get their heads down, to feed them, make sure they're drinking properly, give them a leg stretch. It's not like us humans sitting in a car and you just stop when you want, when you're uncomfortable. You have to think about the horses. I tend to stop every 4.5 hours-ish, because I'm an HGV driver, I need to stop myself to rest anyway, so I combine it with getting the horses off, giving them a good leg stretch and checking that they're all okay.
And have you got any kind of top tips for anyone who's travelling their horses?
You need to have a good map. Don't just rely on your sat nav and your phone, because you do bump into the odd road that is suddenly a non-HGV. That has happened. And then I always take apples, carrots, polos, just things that horses like. That if you can't get them to drink, you can just put a little bit in the bottom just to get their mouths wet, and like by floating an apple or a carrot in it. And just be sensible. Don't go and do something crazy, just because you think, oh, my horse is normal sensible. Don't get it off and just take it for a walk and a head collar. Do put a bridle, a chiffney or a snaffle in its mouth. You wouldn't want to have your horse cantering down the motorway.
Definitely not. And do you find that the horses need to sort of have the journeys gradually built up, or do some of them you can just stick them on a lorry and ship them off for several hours?
Yeah, some horses, are very accustomed to going on a lorry in like 3 or 4 hours an event, so you can get quite far into Europe. And then, we do rest them if we go on a 2-day journey, to try and rest them during the day, give them a good leg stretch, maybe possibly a little lunge, to graze them in hand. And they do adapt very well if they're in familiar kind of surroundings and they see people that they know, and their routine is kept as similar as possible regarding feeding, hay and water.
And this may sound a bit daft, but obviously some people get a bit travel sick when they're going a bit further. Do you find the horses get anything like that?
Yeah, you do have horses that are claustrophobic, and you have to know your horse to know if he's one that might go like that. You have to plan your journey in advance, and it might take some people 2 days to get someone, it might take you 3.5. But that's you knowing your horse and doing what's best for him.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Jess, and good luck with the Tokyo Test event that's coming up.
Okay, so obviously the most interesting thing there is, do horses get travel sick? Which has finally been addressed. It's been keeping me up at night, I know. Definitely. Here's the weird thing, right, Rachel? Before we started recording this, I have been racking my brains because I thought of something really important that we needed to include in this podcast, and I can't think of it. And I can't help but think that I'm getting old, because it was my birthday last week. And I feel that is starting to creep in on me, is that I knew there was something really... So basically, I'm going to have to think of it and then include it next week.
Yeah.
The really important thing I wanted to include in this podcast, and it's now completely escaped my brain. Anyway, just the normal things. Please leave us a review. So needy, so desperate for your approval. But 5-star reviews help us a huge amount. And obviously, if you want to get in contact with us, or think that there is something that you, some aspect of our great sport that you think we should be reflecting on, how do you get in contact with us?
So you can email us, which is podcast@bef.co.uk.
So simple, that part. podcast@bef.co.uk. Dead easy.
Dead easy. And we're also on social media, so we are Equestrian Team GBR on Facebook and Twitter @TeamGBR. And we are on Instagram as well. We are going to be sharing pictures and all sorts of what's happening at the test event, and obviously looking forward to the Europeans.
Here we go. You're on scale 15. I'm going to be honest and say I'm not on 15 just yet, because I think I'm just so I'm still getting over last week, but I will be on 15 by the time we get over to Rotterdam. Excellent stuff. See you next week, everyone.